He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? All right, that went a lot longer than I thought it was going to. We do have a starred comment here from Justin Tindall, so that means...
Fuck Washington!
All right, Justin writes, blow it up after the season if we don't do anything. Plus, the 27 pick is top four protected. Does Genie want to three-peat being in the play-in? Fire Rob. Well, that last part, frankly, I agree with. I think... I just don't see a practical and realistic path here for the Lakers to move LeBron James and have the value that you get back for LeBron now compared to the value that you would get for him, you know, this summer after he opts into his deal. Like, I don't see that gap in value being such that you just completely let go of the rope this season. We've seen enough flashes from this team that I think they're going to be competitive far more often than they aren't. And then, you know, look, competitive can't be the expectation here. I want more from a LeBron and AD team. I want more from a Lakers team. But again, think of the front office that we're talking about here. When you, here's how this would go. When you hand the keys to a rebuild off to a front office, they get to see the rebuild come to its fruition. So you're probably looking at another 4 or 5 years of the Rob Pelinka regime. And that's what he would earn himself by being able to trade LeBron James. I don't want that. I would much rather ride out LeBron and AD, even if it's in mediocrity, with that being the end of the Rob Pelinka thing, so that you can have a full reset after LeBron and after AD. That's what I think makes the most sense. And I think that's what I think most people would agree makes the most sense for those like who are looking to the next chapter of the you know, Lakers basketball. JK Lobos writes, hey, Anthony, great show. How many of the upcoming games do you think we have to lose in December to make a trade? Or do you think the front office will save the picks and sell tickets? Well, all right. I guess that's something to take into account here. Is if the Lakers just completely fall off of a cliff, then, you know, that's a very different scenario that we're talking about. So I'd like fair on that front. As far as like, how many it would take to get to that point, here's how I'll put it. Based on the conversations that I had over the course of the last couple of days or so, and certainly today in writing what I wrote for Clutch Points, which I should probably just put in the chat, the Lakers would not and will not consider trading LeBron or Anthony Davis until those guys approach them and say, we want to trade. So all of this noise is just that. It's just noise. You know, last year, Brian Windhorst reported for ESPN that Golden State called up the Lakers and asked about a deal, spoke to Jeannie Buss. It got to, like, Joe Lacob, I believe, spoke to Jeannie Buss. And Jeannie was like, talk to LeBron about it. And see what he says. And obviously didn't go anywhere after that. And if Golden State comes calling again, if the Lakers are terrible, maybe then Genie, you know, hands the phone off to LeBron and LeBron's a little bit more open to the idea of it. But again, like, LeBron is, you know, like, loves being in LA, loves being a Laker, loves having his family there, loves like getting to like the idea that like he would just be like, all right, Savannah, you hold down the fort for the next like, you know, for 12 out of the next 16 months. And I'm going to go up there and play basketball with Steph and I'm going to try to win a championship. Also, I'm probably bringing Bronny with me. I don't see him asking the Lakers for that unless things go really, really poorly. But like even there, if things go really, really poorly, that means he probably played a part in things going really poorly. The part of this that is like the awkward truth here when it comes to LeBron is that he's part of the problem. Like he is. His defense has been abysmal this year. And then he went into that slump and took the Lakers completely out of the player and ball motion stuff that they were doing at the beginning of the year to break out of a slump. Like, we can also acknowledge that. I got heat for saying that I wish LeBron and AD would get back on defense faster. And even if you don't care about that from like a leadership standpoint, it matters when the other team is like scouting that against you and using it to their advantage. Like wherever LeBron goes, he's going to have those same questions facing him. He's still making $48 million a year. So yeah, and the other thing too, that I heard, and I tried to, I think I included in today's piece, LeBron was willing to take a pay cut this last year and was willing to work with the Lakers so that they could go out and get Klay Thompson or maybe go out and get James Harden or hilariously Jonas Valanciunas. There are people who I've spoken to who do kind of wonder how open to that he would be again this year. Remember, he can opt out of his contract this year. And if the Lakers have an opportunity to go out and get a player who would give him a better chance at winning a championship next year in LA, close to his family, with Bronny there, all that good stuff, would he prefer sticking this out for that potential opportunity over going and chasing a championship, you know, whatever it is, 800 miles up the coast? I don't know. I tend to think that this is all early December stuff that we say when we're too bored because it's not quite Christmas yet. I don't think he's getting traded. I don't think the Lakers want to trade him. I don't think he wants to be traded. If things go really, really poorly, okay, maybe we revisit this. But for right now, this is just all in the hypothetical. All right, we got another one here from Brandon Oming who writes, excuse me. All right, sorry. All right, Brandon Oming writes, thoughts on an AR, Dalton Connect, Dorian Finney-Smith, LeBron and AD with D'Lo, Max, Vando, Christian Wood, Jonas lineup. I feel like you can get a balance of offense and defense, and you can try to flip Hayes and Reddish. I don't know what you would really get for that package. So I guess in this instance, you would be trading just Gabe for Dorian? Which it would be Gabe and a pick for Dorian Finney-Smith? Like if you're able to just turn Gabe into Dorian, I think your team is quite a bit better. I just don't think Brooklyn would be very open to it. But like if that was a possibility, I'd definitely be down for it for sure. Let's go. Hooper's X. Hilarious that Anthony takes no comments from anyone who doesn't pay him. I tell you guys all the time. There are other ways to do this. You can send me a comment on Twitter and prove that you are subscribed to the show. You could hit me up on Discord if you want to hit me up on Discord. I'm about to open up Discord right now and answer them. Or the best way, as I always talk about, is the 5-star reviews on iTunes. I always get to those. We are always up to date on those. So I promise, Hoopers, there's no reason to whine right now. All right, so let's go ahead and dive on into, I asked for questions on Twitter the other day, so I will start there. With those of you who have proof that you are subscribed to the show. So at Sebastian Berner wrote, "Hi Anthony, happy Sunday. I'm starting a podcast about movies with a couple of friends. Any advice? Also, can the Lakers move D'Lo to the Magic after the injuries of Franz and Paolo?" Well, that's interesting. Depends on what you get back. I tend to think, like, once you lose your two absolute best players, that most teams just kind of close up shop and see if they could stay afloat. But if they do decide that, like, D'Lo is enough to kind of keep them up to, you know, D'Lo would help them stay afloat, then certainly that would be something that, you know, maybe they consider. I guess in this case, you're like getting back KCP for that, which I'd be down with. But yeah, as far as like the movie podcasting, like, just have fun. That's where all of this started. We were having our fun talking about the Lakers, and people seem to really enjoy it. And now, unfortunately, over the years, like, you know, some guys kind of fell off, and then because of opportunities elsewhere, you know, Harrison and I don't get to do it every day the way that we used to at one point, and Pete and I don't get to do it every day in the way that we used to. But, you know, if you start with low expectations and you just have your fun and you pay attention to the market and you find a unique way to attack a niche in that market, then those podcasts tend to do pretty well. Hazim writes here, keeping me on task, anything on the Wood update? So from what I, tomorrow or today, by the time you guys are listening to this in audio form, today is when we're supposed to, you know, reach that 4-week moment with Christian Wood after the last 4-week update. And I would imagine we're going to get some information on that front. Some beat reporter, I would imagine, is going to ask about it. Now, the Lakers don't play or don't practice tomorrow. So I guess technically we'll probably come on Wednesday. But Christian Wood's agent is usually pretty active. And if there's good news to share, he will share it. If there isn't good news to share, then you can usually kind of take that for what it is. But the Lakers do hope to get Christian Wood back sooner than later. And, you know, frankly, they need more bigger bodies. So we'll see what he's able to do and when he's able to do it. As I've said before, though, guys, like, I'm not gonna report on injury stuff. Like, it's just, there are too many cooks in that kitchen when it comes to whether or not, like, what goes into a player being available. The best way to do this is when you see said player on the court, that player is healthy. all right. Next one here comes from Lakers Supply. How soon after December 15th do we expect to see Jonas in a Lakers uniform? I asked about that today, and essentially, like, when the Lakers traded for Rui a couple of years ago, there was no market basically for Rui, and it made it easier for the Lakers to go to the Wizards and be like, hey, let's just make this work now. Here's an extra second rounder for not waiting on this. But Rui at that time, I believe, was like in and out of the rotation, was off to a pretty uninspiring start to his career. And I don't think there was a crazy market on Rui Hachimura when the Lakers made that deal. With Jonas, given all of the injuries across the league for centers, given like his literal body type, it, you know, kind of matters here because of the types of centers that teams are going to convince themselves that he can help with. Like, there is actually going to be a market for him. And when that is the case, if you're going to trade for the guy, you have to pay that much more to convince the team that has the guy to trade him before they get to experience that market competition. And if you're asking like what the chances are that the Lakers get this guy on December 15th, the Lakers and Washington have maintained steady conversations over the course of the year on a variety of topics and players. And I would imagine on December 15th, maybe they'll have a more impactful conversation on that front. But at the end of the day, Washington, you know, could just decide, now we're going to hold on to him and get a little bit closer to the deadline. Now there's risk there too, right? Because if you do that and then Jonas gets hurt, then those second rounders that you could maybe get for him, they're no longer on the table. And now you have to just watch Jonas on your bench there for a while. So maybe, you know, if Washington doesn't want to mess around with that risk, and if the Lakers convince them to not mess around with that risk, and then, you know, maybe give them an extra second rounder here or there, then maybe Jonas is a Laker on December 16th or whatever it would be. I would put it unlikely. I would consider it unlikely right now. But these things, like when you do get into the range where these conversations can have real implications, that's when it becomes a little bit trickier, you know, in terms of like nailing down whether or not something is going to happen. I think it's less likely than that he is a Laker on December 15th or 16th or whatever. But I also don't think that we could completely write off that that outcome that soon. All right, let's go into the Discord mailbag, which I just put the link on there as well. Let's go. All right, so 2 weeks with pay. Bill Simmons made a flippant comment on today's pod about there already being trade whispers out there for LeBron. Context, the comment was made during a joking exchange where he was explaining how much he enjoyed that his two most hated teams, the Lakers and Yankees, were not doing that well at the comment. A, have you heard these whispers? And B, how likely do you think it is that LeBron gets traded at the deadline if this team continues to be mediocre to bad? Already hit on a lot of that stuff. There are whispers out there. Look, for one thing, there's whispers about everything. How loud those whispers get, obviously, is another thing altogether. But there are a lot of people around the league who are just kind of like wondering, he can't honestly be okay with just riding out the rest of his career and never viably contending for a championship again. He can't honestly. I sometimes feel that way too. So I participate in those whispers to a certain extent. But things would have to go really, really poorly, I think, for him to approach Genie and say, hey, we've had a good run, let's call it quits. All right, so here's a fun one to end on. Oh, no, we have two more. So I'll go out of order, kind of. Thoughts on trading AR for Rui? No, AR or Rui for Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith. Well, the Schroeder thing, I don't get. I don't understand it. Like, the way that Lakers fans go on and on and on about Dennis Schroeder, you would think that he won like four championships with the Lakers. You would think he was like Derek freaking Fisher. He was like annoying to finally pretty good his first stint. Then he was almost out of the league because he turned down a giant extension because of how annoying he was in that first stint. And then in his second stint, finally accepted the role that he should be playing in the NBA to be his like most impactful player, the most impactful version of himself. And then now again, we're doing this all over again. It's like, he's still the same guy. He's still an undersized guard who does compete. I'll give him that. Works his ass off defensively. It's something that the Lakers miss quite a bit. But the shooting is still an issue. I don't care what he's shooting from three-point range. He still has that load-up catapult shot that defenses don't respect. And that's always going to limit his impact with the Lakers. And it's just like, we don't have to keep the retread thing going. We can get a little bit more creative. If he's like a throw-in in a trade, fine. In this case, we're talking about bringing him in with Dorian Finney-Smith, fine. I'm not trading Austin Reeves for Dennis Schroeder. I'm not. Like, flat out. Absolutely not. And like, if you're talking like, if it's Gabe, hilariously, because they signed Gabe to be the Schroeder replacement. But if it's Gabe and Rui for DFS and Schroeder, okay, begrudgingly, because I'm getting Dorian Finney-Smith. But all of this talk going on and on and on about Dennis Schroeder, like, let it go. He was an important part of a team that got swept in the Western Conference Finals. Like, why was he even? I don't know. But he was. It's just like, let it go. Let that part of your life go. All right. Last one here from George Santiago. Since the holidays are coming, what is your top 3 to 5 dishes for Christmas/holiday dinner meal? Where does prime rib rank if you haven't mentioned it yet? I love a good holiday prime rib. And the hotter the horseradish shot sauce and the more soul food the au jus, the better. And then you have some stuffing that the au jus seeps into because it's sitting there on the plate too. Perfect. The au jus gets into the mashed potatoes a little bit. Awesome. Cool. And that to me is like, it's a heavy dinner because you have two starches. So you got to get a vegetable in there somewhere, have a salad or something. But like prime rib, I would say second. My favorite is a holiday glazed ham. You know, you get the honey on there, you get the pineapple on there, you let that sit there all day and let all of that ooey gooeyness just like seep into the meat. That is perfect. That with some like dark meat turkey, it makes up for the fact that you have turkey on your plate. That's the good stuff right there. But if you're not going to have a holiday ham, then I'm going with a holiday prime rib. Another fun one here. If you're like, you know, cooking on a budget, tri-tip. I'm telling you guys, get a bunch of tri-tips and slice it a little bit thinner. And it operates as a pretty good prime rib substitute. It's not the same. It's not a ribeye. So it's not going to be the same, but it's pretty damn good. I also love lamb. Like if you're doing a smaller Christmas meal, if it's just you and somebody else, a rack of lamb is always really impressive and relatively easy, actually. So you could do that. An herb crusted rack of lamb. Good stuff there. But yeah, like those are the ones that I would probably go to. Turkey is somewhere in like the 30s. It's just not good. We got to let it go. Turkey is the Dennis Schroeder of holiday meats. There, I said it. Oh, we got one more here from Grape Swords, who writes, who's worth 2 picks from Rob's perspective? Who fits that criteria for you? So I'm not going to go with like a specific player here. Because like Brandon Ingram fits that criteria, I think. But to me, And I did Andy's show on ESPN LA last week, I believe. The way I would put it is if the Lakers are going to move both of those picks, they have to be really, really confident. Like damn near nail down type of confidence that, I know BI is probably off the table, like you said, because of the injury, but, they would have to be really, really confident, injuries notwithstanding, that the Lakers would be making a long and lengthy playoff run because of that trade. Remember, the Lakers did all of, moved first round draft capital, for Russell Westbrook because they believed that that would extend the championship window. They were obviously wrong, but that was still why they did it. And then when they traded Russell Westbrook and they included first round draft capital to do that, they immediately made that run all the way to the Western Conference Finals. So if Rob is going to, put that type of asset price on the table, he would only be doing so if he has confidence that on the other end of that trade is a lengthy playoff run. And, that's what gets difficult, right? Is even when they traded Russell Westbrook, it was like, I was happy to see the guy gone because that era was just such a nightmare, but nobody thought that they were going to get all the way to the Western Conference. I was really confident actually back then. And even I was like, damn, this Western Conference Finals run is crazy. This is awesome. And then obviously eventually it ended the way that it did. In this case, like if they move those first round picks and then now you're entering the post LeBron AD era, potentially with that much fewer first round draft capital, then the Lakers have to be very, very confident that the move that they make gets them, two, three, good playoff series out of it. And ideally, championship contention. I don't think there's enough there asset wise to put them in that realm of championship contenders, but they could then viably look themselves in the mirror and say, we did everything that we could to give LeBron and AD one final shot at winning a championship together. Honestly, that's all I want. Just give them a more viable chance than they have right now. All right, I have to run so that I can record this tonight's episode of The Lowdown as well, so keep an eye out on that on the audio feed. Thank you, everybody, to all of the questions. Really, really good ones out there. Love talking about food. Hope I didn't ramble too much about the LeBron thing, but you guys let me know. We have some fun guests lined up for the rest of the week, with the Lakers on this break, and then also going into next week as well. Just make one more double check here that there aren't any more. Yeah, good. All right, we are good. So, yeah, while I still have a voice, or at least voice enough to record this next Lowdown, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.